That brings us to the discussion of the Eagle Prairie Bridge temporary closure. And I might let city manager explain, I have some things to say, but I think the best, let city manager explain what we're doing here.
The general format is what we'll do is just open the item up for public comments. And I believe that there are representatives from Caltrans here will be available to provide an update on the bridge project and respond to the comment made by the public on this particular issue. And for most of the folks here will understand, but a few do not, that the bridge is actually owned and operated by Caltrans. It's actually, I believe, one of the shortest state highways in the entire state of California. It's not a bridge that's owned by the city. But what we want to do is try to facilitate a conversation. So I would return it to the mayor and suggest that we open it up for public comment and then any council input as well.
And I just want to start off by saying I know I have a strong feeling about the bridge and how it's going about. There's parts I don't understand. I was going to bring it to the council to bring it as an agendized item and then go out and solicit the local community. In the meantime, the community came to our city manager and asked that this they be given an opportunity to speak here. I know this is it can be an emotionally charged issue, and so we're gonna gain by being civil, and we're not gonna solve anything by being uncivil. But we're here to hear your honest opinions. We're here to talk with Caltrans and let them explain their stance on it, and hopefully we can come to a meeting of the minds and try to make the best of a tough situation. So with that, I will open it up to public comment. Anyone wishing to speak addressing the closure of the Eagle Prairie Bridge, you're welcome to come up and try to ask you to limit it to 3 minutes in your comment.
I can get up and start this off. Nick Angel, 156 Great Lakes Road, and effectively the bridge closure, wasn't announced. It took our businesses by surprise as a president of the Chamber of Commerce, obligated to let folks know. The businesses closer to the bridge are feeling the impacts the worst. And as you get to Davis Street, where you can actually see the businesses from the Davis Street Wildwood corner or the gas station, seems the impact is less and less. Of course, service-oriented bridge or businesses are being impacted significantly more than non-tourist service-oriented businesses. And that's about it. We need to support our businesses the best ways we can. We've talked with Caltrans at the Chamber of Commerce meeting, as I let you guys know, about multiple options, and hopefully we hear some background from Caltrans, or feedback from Caltrans with regard to the Chamber of Commerce meeting. Thank you for your time.
Anyone else? I might just move ahead and let Caltrans speak.
I'd like to hear Caltrans, to be honest.
So why don't we do that? Are the representatives here from Caltrans? I believe the project manager is possibly here.
Hi. Mayor and Council, I'm Kim Floyd, project manager with Caltrans. I guess I'll start by saying a little bit about the project, a little bit about our decisions to do what we did, and obviously there was maybe an oversight that the department will apologize for not notifying the city as earlier in the Chamber of Commerce. This bridge does require maintenance. It's a bridge painting project, so there's a closure for the next several months, actually through the summer, to do that. We are actively working with the contractor to speed that up as best we can. A little bit of background for everybody, if they don't know, we did paint this bridge. It's a truss bridge, it's gonna need to be painted regularly and maintained. We did do that about 15 years ago, and at that point, We did have the bridge open to one-way traffic control with a signal. We had some quality control issues doing that. That was problematic and resulted in a poor quality finish than we had hoped for, so we're back out doing it again. There were also some issues with that closure in terms of safety. We had people routinely, and I was not here at the time, but talking to the construction staff, we had people that were routinely running the light, and there were actually two workers that were struck and injured during that. So that was one of the things that went into our decision-making process. And also nowadays, when we look at keeping a bridge open to traffic, we have to consider a bicycle as a vehicle and accommodate through the timing of that light a bicycle moving through the length of the bridge. So that's one of the things we considered when we were looking at the project that you have out today, was safety, the timing. You know, we do have the detour close by, and I can understand, and I look forward to hearing input tonight on that, and we can talk more about that. But we did have the detour that's less than 2 miles and less than a 3-minute detour nearby. One of the things with trying to keep the bridge open was the timing that would be required for the signal, past issues, also duration of the contract. It would have been a multiple season job, so we would have been out there a lot longer, and it was a significant cost increase to do that, and that is something that we do have to take into account when we look at spending state resources on projects. So those were some of the issues that came into deciding at this point to close the bridge temporarily, get in there, hopefully get a good quality product, and get out for hopefully a longer time than the last time we did it. Trying to think if there's any other things that, and you know, I'm here to try and answer questions and listen and provide any answers. You know, I've talked with Kyle, and I've provided my direct line should any of the businesses want to contact me for anything that we may be able to do. I know our resident engineer has been trying to do what he can. I know some signs were changed. We're willing to take that any feedback and do what we can within our means to try and ease any of this in. And with that, I don't, if there's any questions from the council.
Council, no questions, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I spent 30 years working for Caltrans, and I was a resident engineer on major construction for about 25 of those years. And all my time on Caltrans as a resident engineer, the first piece of paper that I filled out once I knew who the contractor was going to be was called a resident engineer report of assignment. And it went to a whole lot of people, cities, counties, service districts, fire departments, police department, city government, on and on and on and on. Is that form still used?
Yes.
On this case, it was not used?
It was.
It was used?
Yes. Sorry. Oh, come on. I'm Dan Borman. I'm the area construction engineer, so Robert King is my staff member that administers the contract. That form was filled out. It's filled out on all our contracts still. Yes.
Sent to the city and police?
I would have to pull it out, but I assume that it was, yes.
And when was that done?
It happens after the contract's awarded.
And when was that?
I believe this contract, I don't know the exact date off the top of my head, but it was awarded, I believe, in November of last year. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Also, contractors, I know, have to, you know, put a thing in the paper that says when the shutdown's going to be, the time frame, and I know you did have your sign board up a few days in advance. Were all those, does Caltrans have the same standard that you hold contractors to, or?
In terms of?
Putting out the sign boards at a certain time and notifying the public, you know, through the paper or different avenues.
We normally do a press release, and I think that there was an oversight on that, to be quite honest. I remember talking with Robert, and we were talking, or PIO, our planning information officer, was in contact, but it just, to my knowledge, that did not happen.
Your question. I think Mr. Johnson's asked the questions. You obviously went out for a question proposal, and you knew your contractor knew it in November. Or would you look and see if we did get that information sent to us? With that, I'm going to turn it. I'm going to bring it over to the. You want to hang around? We can answer questions if asked. You know, that if any of the public would wish to ask Caltrans questions, that opportunity is yours now.
I can stay here or let the public come out. I'm here.
Whatever
you're comfortable with. Yeah. I'll stand.
Oh, okay.
I'm Harry Smith, owner of 101 Yorkshire Street. What are the other options that were discussed? Was the option of opening it after hours, before opening, before work time and after work time and weekends, was that discussed? Even with single light control lane traffic, I mean, just to keep people from going, you know, coming this way, even on the weekends. If you're not working, we're losing out on that. So that 2 mile detour is a 2 mile detour for 300 feet of bridge. There's 7 restaurants and cafes in this town. There's 1 in the other town. I employ 16 people, 10 of them live in this area. So now, you know, that's causing more problems for everybody around here. Davis Street on down south is now a dead end street. And nobody's gonna go down there unless they know what's down there. So I understand that there was, you know, the miscommunication between notification. But even with that notification, there's been businesses that opened in the last 3 months. Would they have opened had they known? I mean, are there other options? And what are they? Have they been discussed with the public or the council or anybody?
In terms of keeping the bridge open, we did talk about that. And again, as the factors went into it, in a way, and Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's no easy way for them to basically open it up on the weekend. It's either, you know, you're doing it kind of half with construction, you know, one side at a time, trying to keep one lane open with the traffic control and then switching it. Or in this case, you've got it closed and encapsulated and are doing it all at one time.
So yeah, there's a, with these paint projects, there's a fully enclosed containment system that they, it's basically airtight. So they would have to open that up on the weekends, but that would also prevent them from working on Saturdays, which is one of the ways that they can accelerate. So if they, you know, it's not an easy process to get that containment system open. The original contract, you know, when we have a lengthy development process, the original idea was to do a signalized system. However, after we had more internal discussions, for the various reasons that Kim said, we had decided to go with the full closure route. You know, ultimately, just to give people an idea of what we're talking here in terms of savings, both in cost and time, the original engineer's estimate for this project with the signalized system was, I believe, $4.4 million. The contractor's bid actually was $2.4 million. We also changed it to what we call a cost plus time, where the contractor is bidding not only on the cost of the job, but also the number of working days. The original engineer's estimate for the time was 245 working days. There's approximately 20 working days in a month, so that's 12 working months. The contractor's bid was actually at the bottom of our suggested range, which was 135 working days. So we shaved off $2 million and a complete season. You know, 110 working days is, like I said, 6 months off the project to do this.
And that was pre overtime, like because it just changed recently. Now you're working Saturdays. Was that the original plan?
So it's a working day is defined in this contract as Monday through Friday. So. Again, the cost plus time bidding method is intended to encourage aggressive bids from contractors. So we would
assume that they are planning to, you know, work on the Saturdays and whatever, to, you know, come in at that, at the lower end of the time bid. And that's what we're assuming that they're going to do as we get into nicer weather. Right now, you know, these painting jobs, these structural painting jobs are very dependent on the environmental conditions. So that's why they can't work at night, because it gets pretty chilly here even in the summer. You have to account for the humidity as well, things like that. So they're gonna have to take advantage of every opportunity that they have to work to meet their contractual requirement on time.
Yeah. I've been in contact with Assembly Member Jim Woods about this. You mentioned that your guys' office is out of Sacramento.
We're out of Eureka.
Oh.
Caltrans District 1, yeah.
And that's who's working on the bridge?
We have a contractor that's working on the bridge now, but yeah, our staff here works out of Eureka. We do obviously have structures people in Sacramento. The actual, which may have led to some of the notification miscommunication issues, maybe, is we in this case had a design group out of Oakland working on it.
So they're the ones that placed the bid, and they have the.
They're the ones that developed the contract.
Okay.
The plans and estimate.
So not a local Caltrans, not District 2.
Not District 1.
Or
right.
District 1.
It's District 4.
Okay. I wish there was other options, but I don't know where to go from here.
Any other comments from the public? There's a pretty can here.
Can.
Julie.
Yeah. So I was talking, Nick was saying that they were thinking you putting signs up. Remember I talked to you the other night?
Yeah.
So could they use the electrical Caltrans signs to put one a little farther out than the two on each side that says business is open in Rio Del, coffee shops, stores, and restaurants open? I mean, that might drop. if signs are the only way.
Those are the things we've talked about with Dan's staff, and I'm certainly willing to look into doing anything like that we can.
Yeah, there's, we have to, we're limited in what we can and can't do in terms of signage. There's laws of gifts of public funds, that sort of thing. So, you know, advertisements or something like that for businesses is not something that we can do. We can look at putting some sort of signage out there that talks about, you know, downtown is open, you know, some generalized statements like that. We have made a lot of changes to the signs already, or several different changes to the signs already. You know, we took down all the signs that were talking about the bridge being closed. We've changed the changeable message signs that are out on the freeway. Scotia used this exit, Rio Del used next exit, instead of bridge closed, you know, follow detour, those sorts of things. So there are, I know one of the suggestions that was brought up to my RE, Robert King, was about the service signs that are placed at the exit in regards to, you know, food and fuel and lodging. I think those were the three categories. Those signs do have, they have fees associated with them, and so there's rules and laws about those. So we're looking into what we can do in order to, I know one of the possibilities or one of the suggestions that was brought up was perhaps we could put them up now for the duration of the contract, and then once the contract's over, the various businesses or whatever would pick up the recurring annual fees. So that's something that we are looking into right now.
Oh, that's a good idea. So they at least know that businesses are uptown.
Right. Yeah, you can see a couple of those signs actually at the Scotia exit. I think from the Pizza Factory.
You can't access the Pizza Factory from the Scotia exit now.
Right. Yeah.
So you're talking about moving that Pizza Factory sign to the south?
No, I'm just saying that's an example of the signs that are signage on top of it.
That's one of the things we discussed was exactly that, moving that sign up for in the interim and maybe waiving the fees for all the businesses that are being impacted in town.
for putting up signs.
So is it $2,400 a sign for 1 year, $1,200 after that, right?
I'm not sure what the fees are.
I think it's $700 for a sign. You gotta, oh yeah, you gotta make the sign.
Yeah, install, make the sign, yeah.
And then one other thing I, if I may, the detour sign that's for Riedel. As I was coming home the other night, I noticed it's hidden behind the Davis Street sign. So the one point where it says detour into Riedel from the south, it seems to be hidden behind the existing sign. I don't know if you'd intentionally done that, or, but you can, you can't see the detour sign until you're right up on it.
Right, right. No, I know the sign that you're talking about. Yeah, it is pretty close to that other sign. And that's, you know, that's one of the problems that we get when we run into, you know, trying to put up too much signage. You get signs that are too close together. You know, people can't read everything. We try and limit the number of panels, as we call it, on the changeable message signs to three or less, because
exactly.
As somebody's driving by it, you know, it takes them a while before they can read it, and then sometimes it doesn't even cycle it, you know, through three panels before they get past it. That sign would be for people that are on, you know, coming on to the Scotia, because from Scotia they'd see the bridge was closed. That's the detour, and why that directional detour sign is there. So the people that are northbound on 101 would actually see the CMS that was out there saying, you know, use next exit. So
gotcha. One of the thoughts on that one was, well, you could just hang a detour sign, a big orange detour sign on the Davis Street exit sign. It seemed like an easy fix to me, rather than put it right behind it.
Yeah,
again, it's illegal.
Well, we follow the California Manual of Uniform Traffic Control Devices, so it all has to be vetted through our traffic folks to make sure, you know, that everything is copacetic. But typically, a permanent sign like that would be separated from construction sign.
Gotcha. I just have a quick question about that. You mentioned that bridge needing to be wrapped, and you said airtight and all this was the actual painting process, correct?
Right.
Is that something that's going to be done the entire time that this project is going on?
So my understanding of, and I'm not an expert at bridge painting jobs. That's actually a structural item, and we have a structures construction group that actually inspects that sort of work. So I'm kind of familiar with it at a higher level. But my understanding of what the contractor intends to do is they're currently tenting the one half of the bridge. They're going to paint all that half, and then they would move that containment system up and do the next half of the bridge. And I'm sorry, what was your question?
Basically, if it's going to be wrapped in that plastic the entire time, I mean, you're saying the front half and back half, it can't be the left half and right half? Or if that's not going to be on there at all times and this project is still going on, can we start one lane traffic during that time?
So we are looking at, you know, we're talking to the contractor on ways to accelerate, and we're exploring avenues to that effect. But, you know, having them essentially, you know, do it with one-way control at this point would not be possible.
Well, I mean, expediting a project and keeping a community flowing is two different things. I don't care how fast the project takes if that bridge stays, if it remains closed. If the project takes longer and we have one lane traffic, I mean, me personally, that's what I would rather have. I'd rather have access to the 1,000 people that are across that bridge, to have access to this town and its resources at a faster time rather than having it, or at a continual time, so it's continuous the entire time, even if the project takes a longer amount of time.
And like Kim had said, one of the issues that we would have with having one-way control with a traffic signal is that we'd have to time for bicycles. The length of the closure, I believe, is about 1,250 feet, and the assumed speed of a bicycle is 10 miles an hour. It would actually end up putting red, so you have a green signal, and then it turns red, the other side is red, for 85 seconds for a bicycle to go through. So that's a minute and a half for them to go that way, then this way gets green, and then it would be red again for 85 seconds this way. So you would have almost 3 minutes of red, red every time a signal cycled.
What about a button for bicyclists?
Unfortunately, what we have out there, there's a lot of concrete in the bridge deck. There's not a lot of room to put like a temporary, like a, on poles, that type of a
like
signal.
A tunnel, right? Tunnels have bridge buttons for bicyclists and tunnels that flash.
Right, right. But so the only temporary signal system that is feasible in this location due to the, you know, the bridge decks and the concrete, the sidewalks, etc., are trailer mounted signal systems, and those signal systems don't have that capability, unfortunately.
And is that 80 second delay for bicyclists, is that standard for every light pass through?
It is, again, it depends on the length of the closure, and the assumed speed of the bike is 10 miles an hour, which is about 15 feet per second. So, you know, you just take the length of the closure, divide by 15, and that's what your timing would need to be for a bicycle to safely get through there.
We couldn't put a sign on it that says no bicycles on the bridge and avoid all that?
Unfortunately not. You know, with the way the vehicle codes are written, they are considered vehicles. You know, technically we can't direct them to dismount and walk across the bridge, although that's the standards that we have there right now. It's the suggested, you know, it's a suggested way for them to get across the bridge to dismount, become a pedestrian, walk their bike across the bridge. Whether they choose to do that or not, it's their option. You know, they technically should follow the vehicular detour.
I mean, I've seen highways with no bicycle signs on them. Wow, how's that highway different? I mean, a bicycle can go on any highway in California. There's not sections and stretches
there,
where
there's no, there
district
are.
One, they're allowed on every segment of road, even the freeway.
Yeah, there are sections of the highway out here that most likely do say, you know, the non-motorized vehicles prohibited, etc. Usually that's going to be in an area that
we took those down.
Yeah.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
At this
pedestrians.
At this time, you know, we are working as fast as we can to get the bridge and working with the contractor to try and find ways to just shave the timeline that we've talked about down and open it up as soon as possible. I think if we can focus on anything that we can think, signage or anything that we can do to minimize, get the word out. I mean, it is. And, you know, I talked to Kyle about this too. I'm not trying to make light of any sort of detour. I think we all get in our patterns of traveling and, you know, of course, with infrastructure, it needs maintenance, especially bridges. It is inconvenient. I recognize that, but I'm just hoping that I can work with you guys in the chamber to figure out if there's a way we can get the word out, if we can help within our means, talk to management. It doesn't even have to be maybe part of your construction contract. Maybe there's a way we can use some of our signs that we have to try and alleviate. And I know that's, we want the bridge open. That's the main thing. And a good, you know, good painted condition, so.
I just think the issue that you may not see, or, you know, not being from here, or whoever did the bid, is that when somebody gets on the highway from Scotia, they're not getting off. They're gonna blow right past Rio Del. It's just the way it goes. If they have something else to do, normally they go right across the bridge, get whatever they need, then go north. Now that option's taken away from them, so they're not going to come back and make a detour, especially if it's going to take them an extra amount of time. And that's the issue that we're running into. A lot of clients, you know, a lot of customers from business owners, that's the issue.
So you're saying if they were going into Eureka already, they're just...
Yes, if they're going to go to Fortuna, if they're going to go anywhere north, they're going to get on the highway, they're going to keep going. They're not going to get off on Davis, come make a detour, come back, get what they need, then start their day again. They're going to just keep rolling.
I'm the very last business at the end of town next to the bridge. I have MLS SOP, and it's affected my business completely, 100%, having the bridge closed right there. People just don't come that far down, and when they get to the end right there, they're frustrated that the bridge is closed, they just turn around. And so...
Just for clarity, you're the Emerald.
Yes.
Place right at the old bowling alley.
Yes.
And you opening? When was your opening day?
I opened in January, which was a very, you know, full month to open business. I did very well through January and February, and as soon as the bridge closed, it's been dead. So it's a very difficult not knowing, and if I would have known that, I would never have opened a business.
And there are, I'm not well versed in this, but there are definitely ways if you have had an impact to file a kind of a claim and a loss of goodwill. There's also, I think these are harder and require attorneys, and hopefully it doesn't end up that point, but there's, you know, inverse condemnation if you feel like there's been an actual taking. Again, I'm not entirely familiar, but I'm happy to give you my information and I can help guide you or put you in contact with the right people if you need that.
Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
My name's Erlene Fine and I have the laundromat maybe about 150 feet this way from my fellow citizen business owner here, and I've noticed the same drop in business and significantly, and I just have a couple questions.
Mm-hmm.
How many people are working on that bridge right now? I never see more than three guys down there.
Do you know?
I'm not sure what the exact number of the crew is. I believe it's six, maybe eight is what their crew is. You know, there is a possibility of bringing more people in, but you can sometimes run into the problem of too many people in a tight space, and you lose efficiency that way. So more people isn't necessarily faster.
Right. And then I guess my other question was, if you had mentioned that 15 years ago when the bridge was painted, I remember I was here, I watched it, my family's been in this area for about nine generations, so that bridge. Is there a speed limit on it? I want to know, because if it's a highway, or as you mentioned, and was speed in, did speed play a part in the two individuals being struck on the bridge? Do you know or not?
No.
Okay, so it was just, because I'm a little curious about it. I don't remember, I must have gotten busy, but...
And there were vandalism, there were definitely issues, there were vandalism issues.
Okay.
Yeah, the current contractor's superintendent for this project was actually worked for the contractor that did it 15 years ago. He was just a worker on the bridge. He was actually on the project for two seasons. So some of that information is his direct recollection of things that had happened. He said that he told us that there were two people that were hit. That was actually confirmed by some of our staff, Caltrans staff that also worked on the project. People, like he said, people regularly ignored flaggers. People regularly ran the red light when it was just the signal out there. We had acts of vandalism. It's my understanding that we actually had delineators, those kind of orange posts that they stick out there with the reflectors on. That was down the center line. People would go out there at night, rip them off, and throw them down into the river. So they ultimately had to bring in water-filled barriers that they put across the bridge for that. And actually, with this project, we've also had a couple of acts of vandalism already. One of the workers, about 2 weeks ago, was actually sitting in his car eating his lunch, and somebody shot out his rear window. And then later that night, a team came to the Gables where they're staying and said, hey, for $100, it can make sure you know none of your windows get shot out anymore. That apparently was reported to Rio Del Feliz. That's actually the Scotia side of the bridge. And it's my understanding that there was no formal police report, but that the officer went and talked to the parents of the team that they suspected it was. So when I hear from my position as a supervisor of staff, it's incumbent on me to make sure that my staff is safe and the contractor's staff as well. So, I'm hearing these stories right now and I'm thinking that I might have to have CHP out here every single day, which is an added cost to this contract and limits the available funds that we have in order to make some of the other changes that we may be talking about. One of those changes that we haven't mentioned, there is actually a minor B project, just that has to do with dollar limits, to ADA ramps at either end of the bridge. And we're looking at bringing that work into this contract, having this all done while the bridge is closed, rather than next year have that contract come out separately and again have impacts on the traveling public. So.
Okay, and then I guess my last question is initially I had heard it would be finished in October, but now it's December. Is that correct? Or is it? No? Okay,
no,
so it's always been December.
135 working days, which is
okay.
Going to be weather dependent. You know, obviously we're going to have some rain coming in here this week and next, so those probably aren't going to be working days for them. But yeah, so 135 days is 7 months, so they started, they started in the middle of March. So I suspect that they're going to be done in October, if not sooner.
Great.
Again, we're actively discussing it with them on ideas to accelerate.
Well, I don't have any employees, but I know there are businesses here that do, and having to, I know it's going to be hard for them. I mean, if this really impacts them long term, because then families are involved. They have to lay individuals off, and it just gets. I wouldn't want to be in your position, but to be honest with you, I don't want to be in my position or anyone else in the room. So I know it's not easy, and I'm glad we're keeping it civil. I'm really sorry, and it doesn't. We have a good community here, and no human life. We're angered or we're this, and but acting out in acts against a vandalism and harming another individual is just no bridge is worth it, no paint job, and we do want to shine. We do want a bridge. We need that long term. We need the maintenance done on it. It's just, I guess it's a bittersweet situation for all of us. And thank you for coming here and listening to us, and for sharing the information all around. Thank you.
Anyone else wish to address Caltrans or ask questions or comments?
Adam Diaz, through Wildwood. I got a business downtown, and it seems like there's really not much that can be done. If we could have got this going 6 months to a year ago, it would have helped a lot of people. But I think even just 2 years ago, I don't think anybody would have cared. So I'm really quite happy to see so many businesses out here, getting together, supporting each other. That's a big step, but unfortunately, having run a business in this town now for 5-6 years, I actually have other avenues and whatnot, but the couple tourists that have come in so far have said it's very hard to find my place, and I'm actually on a map, but it's just simply because understanding what that bridge means goes far beyond just local traffic. The main hub of tourism that comes into our area comes off the Avenue of the Giants. And, they say at this point, Nick mentioned at the chamber, that businesses on this side won't be affected, but that's just not going to be the case. There's going to be hundreds of thousands of dollars lost just by the gas station alone. Because those people who are coming through, they take that exit. They don't know that there's more gas in Fortuna. They don't maybe know how to get to the renter, but they cross that bridge and they pull into the shell down here. They hit everybody else along the way. And there's a lot of them, not just a few. There are thousands and thousands of tourists that are driving through this town every single day during the summertime. And we've tried our damnedest to harness them. We're almost there, and this right here has a real good chance of basically ending a lot of people's businesses. And I think that I know there's compensation of some sort that can be filed by individual businesses. It may take an attorney. And I believe someone has already started looking into that. But I also know that, you know, maybe we can leave this better than we started. You know, that's the shortest state highway in California. We've long wanted to promote that bridge as such. Is it possible we can get some signage put up, some commemoration put up of the bridge, something, anything, any future cooperation that might help the businesses down the road? Because it's clear that it's not going to get changed, and that, you know, a certain amount of detours are not going to save us. I mean, there are businesses that are probably going to close because of this. So. That would be a question.
Those are good comments. I think maybe we can, I mean, I can't promise anything. I'm not a manager, but maybe there is something we can do to educate tourists coming through sign-wise or doing that.
So since she serves that she's not a manager, I thought I'd better step up, because I am a manager. My name is Brad Benham. I'm the Deputy District Director in Eureka for Planning and Local Assistance. So that's sort of my job. And I wanted you to know that management takes this seriously. We recognize that we didn't do everything we should have done, and we want to open it in conversation with the city. This is not a good time. You're right, it's probably not going to do a lot of good on this project. We'll do what we can in terms of signage, but it won't be the last project. So I think we need to have that discussion. And I'm here primarily to listen so that you know that management is here hearing what's being said.
Thank you. Brad, you indicated that this is not the last project, and it's my memory that there's a seismic retrofit for that bridge coming down the road in the next couple of years.
There is a seismic retrofit project out there. We haven't decided exactly how that's going to work yet. One of the alternatives includes some self-closing gates, and which might be a minimal way of dealing with the whole issue of seismic retrofit, but we haven't by any means decided yet. So, but it is another project coming, and you're right, and we need to have those discussions.
They seismic retrofitted the truss bridge north of town. Why they closed it for what, 2 years?
Mm-hmm. Well, we had an alternate bridge.
We can't afford to have the bridge closed for another year or two.
Understood.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Mr. Rickman, welcome.
Brian Richter, 60 North Street. It's obvious to me that in 8 months we're going to have a beautiful bridge open to the public and no businesses on this end to support it once it's open. That's all I have to say.
So it looks like it's going to come down to signage. Who will you be working with? Will you be, on that, will you be working with the chamber or the city? And both?
Both. I think it would be good to maybe start with the next chamber meeting or even sooner or
something.
Right.
Maybe. And let all the businesses know so they could be there to help with the input about signage.
Is it Friday, did you say?
Yeah, Friday noon and the chamber.
The chamber, that's our monthly board meeting, yep. And then there's our meeting at the Pizza Factory, which is on the third Tuesday. Yep. So those are.
Well, we can also call a special meeting
at
your leisure.
Yeah.
And we'll get the Tracy will. Notify all
the businesses.
Yeah, that's what I think I'm Friday at noon.
Okay, great. Right. Any other public comment? Yes, ma'am.
I'll be brief. Probably don't want to be here till midnight. My name's Tawny, and I'm with the Green Bean, the owner of the Green Bean. And it's really hard because there's nothing, it sounds like, that any of us can say that's going to change the outcome of what's going to happen. What happened on the Caltrans hand or whoever made the decision and didn't inform the city or the people or put more thought into it or run it by the business owners, do census reports currently, see how much traffic would possibly be impacted prior to this project decision being made. It's incredibly depressing and sad. It was a major oversight. I don't feel as though the signage is going to help much. Everybody consistently throughout the whole downtown has noted the same decrease in business. I know the word phrase, you know, wasting taxpayer dollars came up. Well, I'm a taxpayer. And had I had a choice as to how the outcome of my business was going to be, I'd have chosen different had I been given the opportunity to speak on the subject. I feel like there's a lot of candid talk and just, you know, well, we have someone who can speak about that. In lieu, the reality is that a decision was made, a poor decision, based on, you know, no research into the town's busyness and whatnot, as far as I'm concerned. And everybody in the town is going to pay the price for it. I would be inclined to ask you, you know, how much your jobs mean to you and why they mean something to you. And I would assume that it's because you have bills, you have families, and you have responsibilities. The same can be said for all the seven businesses that have opened up in downtown. They have families, they have bills, they have obligations, and some people like myself have put every penny into the project. And so for me, it's very disheartening to hear about signage when I know for a fact, I know what my traffic is. And I've had my customers in Scotia go out of their way to let me know, hey, I'm sorry, we haven't been in. It's really inconvenient for me to make a full circle. You know, the proof is there. You guys know the facts of it. We're not all here because we have nothing better to do as business owners. So I can say personally that I'm not gonna be okay with signage, and I'm not gonna let it lie with signage. I think the only answer to a lot of people's problems now and down the line is going to be opening that back up. And so I personally, myself, am going to be looking into, you know, petition legalities, what it would take as a community to possibly appeal this decision, or at least give the people whose livelihoods are existing upon this an opportunity to voice their concern or their opinion on the matter.
You have a public comment? Yes, sir.
My name is Michael Ward. I have a shop at 23 Center, and I'm on the good end, I guess, if you'd call it, of this in town. And I've noticed about half of my business is gone, and I'm having to consider laying people off. And I wouldn't have thought my business would have been affected that way, but it did. So it's going to dramatically affect all of us.
Another comment. Other comment. Going. I'm going to close both comments and bring it back to council. Does council have anything they wish to add?
Well, I'd just like to say I do hope that you are going to assist the contractor and step up to hopefully Saturday and Sunday, even nighttime if it's enclosed, even during the rain if it's enclosed, they should be able to be working. So I hope that you guys are pursuing that with your extra funding and assisting the contractor in that and just moving this along as fast as possible.
Mr. Johnson?
I understand that there's going to be added to the contract evacuating the surface. I would hope that you do that at the very end, one lane at a time, when the bridge is open.
That's part of the contract, yes. It's not additional work that's going to be added. It is part of the contract.
Switch the order on the signs. I know the signage deal will have to deal with if it's a business is open first and not bridge closed first.
I have a couple of comments. Yes, and primarily directed at Caltrans. I hope your stomach hurts. I really do. And I hope you feel bad about it, because you should. The fact that I'm not a member of Caltrans, I'm not a bureaucrat, I don't have the experience, Mr. Johnson, but I do get to watch what the state does and what it can do. And it can do a lot of things because it can. It's a very big entity. And a couple of notes that I made is the District 4 seemed to have made a decision for you. There's certain things you cannot change now, but there is something called resolve. And if you resolve to do what is right, and there's a wrong here, and you have an ability to not fix it 100%, but you, all of you, and your organization have the ability to do something that's right and make as much right as you can for now and in the future. And when you go to your office tomorrow and you sit around and you have a coffee, you say, yeah, we went down to Rio Del. I want you to think about the people, this lady over here, this lady over here, that just started a business, for goodness sakes, and have put their hearts and souls into making something out of a city that is hugely depressed. And you can do what you want, but I believe that you can still make a difference whether it's signs or you talk to government agencies, you get fees waived for moving signs. I can't put a sign up because there's a fee that's charged for something. There's a word for that, and you know what it is. You can resolve those things, and by going to the powers that be and get fees bypassed, and do as much as you can to come out of this so that you look yourself in the face. I don't have to look you in the face of the money. You need to look yourself in the face and know that you did everything you could, successful or unsuccessful. You made an effort with that resolve to make a difference for this town, because this town hurts for the lack of what you did. So that's done. But going forward, I would ask you very politely to do something to make a difference for Rideau, because we do need the help. You need a comment from council? Not, I'll turn it back to city manager. You want to close this out?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We'll be working certainly with Caltrans on the signage issue and any other way that we can coordinate cooperatively with the agency. As well as switching the city's sign downtown to reflect that the businesses are open. If there's any other direction, certainly we're open to any other further input from members of the public. You can certainly contact City Hall, you can contact my office, and we'll certainly be coordinating with Kim and the rest of Caltrans to try to work and address these issues.
One question I wanted to bring up is Mr. Smith said that he has talked to Assemblyman Wood. I know Mr. McGuire is concerned about the North Coast. And if you would make an opportunity, at least that we sent him, even if it's just a letter, but if you would make him, would invite him to come up here on his next round and take a tour of your city and meet, and he needs to meet this lady over here. He needs to stop in for a sandwich at Green Bean. He needs to go into Harry's place and physically talk to his people and feel what they're going through to at least affect it, get possibly from his level. Yes, Mr. Smith.
Just real quick, I invited Assemblymember Jim Woods down here tonight for this meeting, and he's in Sacramento at another meeting. His counterpart, I believe her name is Emily, she was supposed to come down, but I guess she has a newborn, so it's kind of hard to balance that kind of act. But I invited them down to hear the public comment tonight, and they couldn't make it.
I appreciate it. All right, I'd like to take a 5-minute recess. Again, people, if you wish to leave, you can do that gracefully. If you need to use the facilities, you can do that gracefully too. So we'll come back at 4:00.